meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew. Loveline. Coast to coast.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla, and coast to coast is right. That's Dr. Drew. I'm out here in New York. Dr. Drew is back at home in L.A. Drew?
Yeah, I'm here. How are you?
What's happened? Well, you know, living the life out here.
Yeah, what are you doing?
Well, let's see. You know, tonight I went and saw Cabaret with my old friend Molly Ringwald in it.
Oh, wow. How fun.
Yeah, it was good.
So I don't see you at the theater somehow.
I know. I don't see me at the theater either. But
I just see you, like, lighting farts and things, and it just doesn't, I don't know.
Well, it was one of these things where I came to New York, and I talked to Molly's sister, Beth, a couple
Ooh.
Days earlier. Yeah, good times,
good times. Okay.
And she said that Molly's out here, and she's doing Cabaret, and it's real good. I said, what the hell? So I called her up, and we went out, saw the show.
Good times.
Had a good time.
Nice.
Had no idea about the whole Holocaust thing at the end of Cabaret.
Oh, really?
I thought it was like singing and dancing all the way through.
Well, it's sort of the build-up to that, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know it got all weird with the Holocaust at the end.
Yeah.
It was moving.
Yeah.
Bring. Bring.
Hi, how are you doing?
Hi.
Wait,
yeah.
I'm Sugar.
I'm Ace.
Hey, Ace.
Yeah. What are you wearing?
Well, I'm wearing a nice black garter. Just thinking about the Holocaust right now.
Oh, my God. Yeah. That's pretty much what it was.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Oh, well. I had a nice time. I had a nice time last night by myself. It was good. Got about 300 calls in.
Yeah, good time.
Good time.
You weren't talking about the Holocaust.
That's right.
All right, let's see. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Drew, anything to say?
No, you want to talk about the dentist or you want to talk about somebody's sex problems?
I'd rather talk about the kids because I'm here to help the kids.
Here's Julie. She's 28. Julie?
Yes?
Hey, Julie.
Hi.
Hey.
Hey.
You may speak now.
Okay.
All right. And go.
Go.
Adam?
Yeah.
Yes.
Hi.
Hey. What's happening, Julie?
Oh, I have a question about my sex life.
All righty.
I was having sex with my boyfriend, and after I had extreme pelvic pain, nausea, felt like I was going to pass out. My legs about gave out from under me, very shaky.
Hmm.
Just happened once when I was on top. I haven't been on top since. He said a similar thing happened with his ex-wife, and he had taken her to the emergency room, and they told her it was because he hit her cervix.
Anything we should know about him?
No.
Nothing special?
No.
Jeez, I wish I could hit a cervix just one time.
No, I mean, he's not really... My ex-husband was actually probably bigger than him, and...
Uh-huh.
Of course,
I don't think I couldn't hit a cervix if I was doing an autopsy.
Probably not. But I wonder how that conversation went down with her current boyfriend. Oh, my ex-boyfriend.
Yeah.
My ex-husband.
Oh, no. Yeah.
That.
Check that off the list, brother, because my ex hung like a black rhino. You're hung like an acorn. So definitely can't be that.
No,
all right, so
you could have an infection. You could have ruptured ovarian cyst or an endometrioma. There's other things it could be, and you ought to see a doctor about it just to make sure that something else is going on. You've had children before?
Yes.
How many?
Two.
Any problems with those pregnancies?
Well, I've had four pregnancies. I have one living child.
What happened with the other pregnancy?
I had two miscarriages, and I had a son that had Dandy Walker malformation.
Yeesh.
What is that?
Water on the brain.
Mm. Oh, boy. So what happened with him?
He died when he was an hour old.
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy.
That's horrible.
Well,
so what about it, Drew?
Yeah.
Get with it, Drew. Let's go.
But I'm also a DES daughter.
Really? I don't think that, I really doubt that has anything to do with it. However, again, get a pelvic exam, get an ultrasound, see what might have been causing this. This is Justin.
Hold on a second.
Hey, you say get with it. I'm going to go with the rate I went last night.
Listen, Jack Hall, I'm also a DES daughter. Oh, okay. Well, I don't think that's anything.
Yeah.
What's a DES daughter?
Diethylstilbestrol, which is, there's some risks of tumors and things in her case.
Why do they call the daughter?
Because it was her mom that took the medicine. The daughter's.
Oh, okay.
Problem.
All right. Well, Drew, you got to explain. You got to say it's a medicine or mom talk.
All right.
All right.
That's why you're here. All right, Justin.
Yes.
22.
I just have a question here. My girlfriend and I have been going out together for about 4 years, and we've both openly discussed everything that's happened in the past, and we are completely attracted to each other and love each other.
Yeah.
And we only have sex maybe twice a year. And I was talking with her about this, and it's not something that we're concerned about. Neither one of us are really concerned about it all or anything. It's just we've noticed that we don't think that's usual. And I just wanted to know if this is, like, normal, I guess. I mean, I really don't have too much of a problem with it, but I just was wondering if it was normal.
How old is she?
She's 21.
Are you on medication?
No.
Justin is what, 22?
22, yeah. Has sex with his girlfriend whom he loves and is attracted to twice a year.
I mean, it's not like it's a planned thing or it happens that often. It's just maybe it's 3 times or 4 times, but...
A year.
Yeah. I mean, it's just whenever it happens, but it's been maybe the last year and a half.
I think it was even Woody Allen said if it drops below once every other month, he'd definitely look into it.
And by the way, what was it at when it was at its peak, like when you guys just started dating?
Minimum once a day.
And then how long did that last for?
Almost a year.
And then how long have you been dating?
4 years.
And then
so it went from once a day minimum at its peak in the first year. I mean, we're talking about, let's say, 400 times, 500 times in the first year,
and then
to maybe twice a year?
Then from 500 times to 6 times.
So, yeah, it was like maybe the next year was, 30, 40 times in the year. And then it's just been like this last year and a half or so.
And that doesn't trouble you?
Well, no, it doesn't bother me because it's not something that I'm like, I don't know. I don't need to have sex.
Are you having sex with someone else?
No.
What was different when you did need to have it three every day?
Well, it wasn't that I needed to have it. It was just kind of that I found someone that I wanted to spend the rest of my life with, and it was a brand new thing. Mm-hmm. I guess is really the whole thing. It was brand new.
Okay.
That was
Drew, quiet down.
Yeah.
Drew is a passionate, passionate, passionate man. So he couldn't begin to understand this. But I don't share Drew's same passion for anything in life, really.
Yeah.
Except for napping and masturbating. And, I mean, in a way, it's like I can kind of see where if you're still in love and it just only hits you a couple times a year, maybe. But at the age 22,
bizarre.
I mean, if you're in your 50s,
yeah,
50s, that'd be another thing. But at 22, that is really weird. On the other hand, I don't want to damn the relationship if everyone seems happy.
However, I bet. Hang on, let me ask this. Justin, is this your first love? Pretty much.
No, I guess I was in love. I was with a girl for like almost 2 years.
All right, but you don't have much of a facility with knowing when a relationship is over and how to end a relationship.
Uh-oh.
You see what I'm saying, Adam? I think this is just one of those things that has wound down, and they're like, well, we're like brother and sister now. We're going to get married. And if that's what you want to do, that's fine. But does something come out of this relationship or not come out anymore?
And what do you do on the honeymoon?
I just go to the cabaret.
I wonder, how dare you? How dare you, sir? Molly Ringwald is a dear, dear friend.
I know there's a story attached to her sister. Go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead.
No, maybe I lost my virginity to her. Maybe. Maybe.
Good.
So glad Molly brought that up, by the way, tonight at dinner.
Oh, my God. How did she know that?
What the hell? I'm a big celebrity now. People talk.
Oh, for God's sakes.
Oh, Jesus.
What?
Go, Drew. Who do you got?
All right, let's get
Who's
going.
Next?
This is, wait a minute here. This is Steve, 15. Steve?
Yeah, hi.
Hey, Steve.
I'm just calling about a question about Novocaine or anesthesia.
Yeah.
I just had to get 4 teeth removed today, about 9:30.
Well, according to Adam, the anesthesia is sort of like on the Flintstones. They take a big mallet and they smack you over the head. Is that how it works, Adam?
No, they give you the nitrous gas.
Oh, that's right.
That's my thing.
The nitrous gas.
Okay.
Nice.
But they took out 4 teeth, one for an impacted molar, and then they decided to just take out the wisdom teeth while they were at it. But I was just wondering, like, how long would this normally last? Because I got it at 9:30, and it's still, like, pretty powerful.
What?
The anesthesia.
What are you feeling? What are you feeling?
It's just like it's a numbness, like, you know, you can't feel anything when you touch it.
In your in your jaw? Yeah, it's going to go on till tomorrow, I bet.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't always hang on that long, but sometimes it does, and no big deal.
Yeah, that was the only question I had.
Unless he damaged one of the nerves coursing by there, it's a possibility always, but I doubt it.
Well, let's be honest. I mean, the Novocaine injection should be gone about 5-6 hours down
the
road.
They probably did some kind of special block, I bet you.
Okay.
Yeah. Allison, 21. Allison?
Hello?
Hello.
Sorry.
What's up?
Yeah, I had a question about, I used heroin for about 4 years, and I've been off it totally for about 2 months, and I'm just curious about the cravings, because they're really bad right now.
Yeah, well, you should be calling your sponsor and going to meetings. That's how that works. The treatment, without treatment, if you're not engaged in some sort of treatment process, you have a 100% probability of relapse.
Okay.
So you get in a car and go to a Narcotics Anonymous meeting or call someone from NA right now.
Okay.
Because trying to do heroin on your own is a losing battle. It's a biology whereby your brain basically is tricked to believe that it needs the heroin to survive, and it's going to get it. That's it, period.
Okay.
Now, the way you combat that is with recovery. Recovery will... the way to combat that is with a recovery program. You can do quite well with that.
Okay.
Well, how did you get off it for the 2 months?
Well, I went to a detox program, and I've just been going to AA here and there. I don't really have a sponsor.
You have no sponsor, no treatment.
Well, I've been to treatment several times.
I understand, but if you don't have a sponsor, you're not engaged in treatment.
Okay.
The sponsor is the treatment process. And if you're not engaged in doing the steps with that person, you're just sort of treading water. All right?
All right, Allison.
Go do
it. Hey, good times, all right?
Right.
All right.
Yeah, good times.
Right. Take care of yourself, right?
Oh, that's got to suck, that heroin.
Yeah.
Craving something.
It's not even crazy, it's like a drive. They feel like awful, like they've lost something very powerful, like lost a boyfriend or a girlfriend or a pet or something, and they know where the relief is.
Yeah. Well, everyone I talk to ever does heroin is like, oh, you feel warm all over. You're right with the world. Everything is great. Mm-hmm. Like, really? Well, give me some of that.
Oh, God.
Drew says it's not too bad for you.
Oh, my God.
Well, you know.
That's true. I've said that. And I will stand by that. It just causes horrible addiction.
Right.
And the
people
way you
function, okay.
And the way people give it to themselves can cause them horrible damage.
You mean the injection?
Yeah.
Okay. Who's next?
It's Joe, 17.
Hey, Adam, Dr. Drew.
Hey, Joe.
Hey, Joe.
Adam, you're the funniest man alive.
Oh, thank you, Joe.
Oh, Adam, wait, hang on a second, Joe.
Yes,
speaking
sure.
of the funniest man alive, the mason jar guy called last night.
Oh, he did?
Thomas, and he had a real love problem.
Really?
Yes, and he was all upset and wanted to talk about it and was making amends for causing such trouble for us. He was going to come out here and visit us.
Oh, Drew, you didn't make nice with him, did you, you jackass?
I did.
The guy who invented the mason jar call?
And the biggest letdown of all, I'll have you know, I asked him, Anderson doesn't want me to tell you, but I'm going to tell you. I asked him, where did this come from? Where did the mason jar thing came from? And he said it was something you had said like a week before.
Oh.
You had made some reference to some woman having an ass the size of a mason jar.
Well, I always found it to be a clever line, you know. But wait a second, Drew. You didn't invite the guy out to the studio,
yes,
or anything,
did
you?
Yes, I did.
No. Drew, what's wrong with you?
Because he is part of
Can't
our history.
Can't you say no to anybody? Every time I show up at Loveline, there's some new puppy dog. Drew is pulled in off the street, hanging around, eyeballing me, sitting on the sofa. Drew ran into him somewhere. They wrote a letter with a piece of chalk on a piece of bark and sent it from prison. And Drew's, come on down. He's got like 15-year-old kids and guys trying to sell me steak knives. What is that with you, Drew?
It's just
You're such a sap.
I'm a
Stop
sap.
Stop being, such a,
and
being
I like,
such a soft touch.
And I like making you miserable. The two things are just,
Jesus
I can't escape.
Christ.
He didn't even ask to come in. Drew just was unsolicited.
I was bringing him in.
See, Drew has to make nice with his enemies, and that's his problem. All right. Who's next, Drew?
Joe.
Oh, yeah, Joe. 17. Go ahead, Joe.
Okay, thanks. Dr. Drew, I caught Teen Species. That
yeah.
was great.
Oh, good. Thanks, Joe. I thought that was kind of cool. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought it was very educational.
Yeah, it was good. It was well done. I'm very pleased with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't say that about most television.
Drew, do me a favor. Get that on cassette, on VHS, half inch, please, and send it to my agent. Would you please? I'd like him to then forward it to me so I could take a look at it.
Okay, your people. Why don't we just send it right to your assistant since you have one?
Send it to my assistant. She'll cue it up and give it to me, all right?
It's 3 hours. I never imagined you'd watch 3 hours of television.
Well, let me just see the intro. Thank you.
Anyway, I got a herniated disc, 304 last year.
From what?
Lifting weights.
Great.
Anyway, it got misdiagnosed for about 6 months. Everybody thought it was just like strained muscles or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I basically took painkillers for 6 months. Mm-hmm. Then they actually found out with MRIs that it was a herniated disc.
Mm-hmm.
So I had an epidural in March, and that, I mean, it worked good for about a month. But then the pain sort of resurfaced.
Did you have one or a series?
Oh, I had one. And then I ended up having another one about a month ago. And the anesthesiologist, he sort of messed up. He said the muscles were too tight.
Yeah.
The first time he went in with the syringe.
Yeah.
So he went in and redid it. And it really felt like it didn't do anything at all. It feels like my back muscles are a lot tight now. Mm-hmm. Tighter.
Mm-hmm. Are you still taking...
What's happening, buddy? You in pain? You nervous? You beating off? What's going on?
I'm a little bit nervous.
Okay, buddy. That's okay.
You still taking pain pills?
No. I'm on Celebrex.
And that's it?
Yeah.
Well, you know, herniated discs, I guess the next... It's kind of complicated. There's really not much else to be done other than physical modalities, physical therapy, that kind of thing. So you really need to get in a formal program. And to operate on something like that is usually a huge mistake. The only real indication for operation is if you start getting some motor problem, like weakness in one of your legs. But herniated disc, you're awfully young to have that kind of thing, but they're very common, and they tend to get better on their own.
Yeah, I had physical therapy, too. They did traction.
Well,
it didn't really help at all, though.
You should go back to physical therapy. And if
what the hell's traction do, Drew? My grandma had traction after she got in a car crash. She put this crazy harness around her chin and neck and then swing these weights over the door and would pull her head up like she was a bobblehead doll.
It's to distract the spaces between the vertebrae so the discs can kind of be relieved of tension.
Really just to distract you.
Yeah.
Well, you feel like, your back don't hurt so much anymore when your head's getting pulled off, does it now?
Good times.
Isn't that what it is?
Except Joe had the lumbar traction, which is even cooler. Put on a big harness.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
But, Drew, you know what's a good, everybody, and Drew, I don't know if we've ever really discussed this, but a nice basic thing for people to do, I mean, maybe not Joe because he's had an injury, but hanging off a bar, just stretching out that vertebrae.
The upside down hanging?
Hey, you don't have to do it. You just put your arms up on the thing and dangle yourself.
Oh,
you know?
Absolutely, just from a pull-up bar.
Yeah, just put a. We did that.
Yeah, well, you don't need those gravity boots. And Drew, what year was it that everyone decided it was a great idea to be inverted?
I know.
Remember that?
Yeah, about 1988, 87.
Yeah, someone said, "Listen, man, here's what happens. Would you get rid of Joe, by the way?
Well, we're not
breathing in the background. We're done with him. Listen, your brain is in your head." Your brain's in your head, right? Blood is like the oil. Okay, it's like what oil is to your car? Yeah, that's what blood is to your brain. So if you hang upside down, man, and all the blood and the nutrient-rich blood, man, it goes to your head, man, that's going to make that engine hum.
Because, listen, the man decided you need to be upright. And who said you have to be upright all the time?
That's right. God intended man to walk on his hands, but then the floor shine people got hold of the, who work for the man, and they forced us all to walk upright, man. But in real life, man, we'd spend half our time inverted. I'd be talking to guys' genitals if I didn't have the timing right. You know what I'm saying, man? Like, we'd go out for dinner, and my friend's head would be down where my feet are, and his balls would be sitting on the table in his soup. You know what I'm saying, man? But the man made us stand up straight. He put heels on his shoes. And he was like, put a shine on those shoes too, boy. And dance. Dance!
Okay. Here we go.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. Kim is 26, 28?
Yes.
Yeah. Go ahead. Stop listening to the radio and turn it off and go ahead and ask your question.
Uh-huh.
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Basically, my boyfriend and I are having a discussion this evening about masturbation, and I said something like, well, I started masturbating in the first grade. And then he says something like, Well, I don't think that's normal because you're supposed to do that once you hit puberty. So that
what
was
did
my
your dad
own.
Rape you?
He's right in a sense, although it can be normal sometimes. Children that become sexualized, we always worry that something rendered them sexual, but just masturbating doesn't necessarily mean that it's sort of directed in a sexual way. Well, another reason that people start fooling with their genitalia in childhood is that there's a lot of chaos in the home. It's almost a self-soothing kind of technique, or sometimes an expression of aggression. Was there a lot of stuff going on in your home?
You know, I don't remember anything like that. I mean, this is very cliche, but my dad was a minister. But, I mean, you know, it was a very loving home. I don't remember anything.
All right. All right. No physical.
No physical right? abuse? Huh?
I'm sorry?
No physical abuse? No.
No, none that I remember.
Okay.
In all fact, right. I mean, my dad was strict, but he was never, you know, beyond.
Never hit you?
Yeah, no, nothing like that.
All right, so it may just be normal. It can be.
Yeah.
Well, would you quiet down, please? Were you having an orgasm or are you just diddling?
No, actually, I remember having orgasms.
But with chicks, it doesn't count, you know.
Well, in my experience, talking to these women that have done this, often they're the ones that are multiply orgasmic later. Is that you?
No, not at all.
No?
I mean, occasionally, but that wouldn't be anything to speak of, so.
Okay. All right. Mm. No big deal.
Okay. Well, it was just one of those things that we weren't really sure if that was normal or not.
Well, man, it's not routine. It doesn't necessarily mean abnormal, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Tell your boyfriend Drew said fine.
Relax.
Right.
Good times.
All right, should we take a little break here, Drew?
Yes, let's do.
You got anybody you want to talk to coming up?
No. Thanks for... Oh, yeah, here's Nathan. He needs advice on oral technique. Girlfriend says she feels nothing.
That's me.
Right. You say hi to Matt there for me, will you?
I will.
All right.
I'll give him a nice big wet kiss for you. Matt's the engineer over here at Westwood One or CBS out here in New York. That's where I am. Drew's in L.A., and we'll be right back after this.
Buddy, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. I'm in New York. That's Dr. Drew. He's in Los Angeles. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191.
Drew?
You.
Guess what time the car is taking me to the airport tomorrow, buddy?
So you're on your way to London.
That's
got to be about,
right.
Let's see, and it's now 1:30 there. It's got to be about 5:20.
Well...
6:15?
We pushed it back to 6.
Oh, yeah.
Because,
and they're,
you know, even though,
and they're angry.
Even though it's an international flight, we still figured, why get there 2 hours? Hey, let me ask you this, Drew.
Mm.
They say if you're going to fly internationally, get to the airport 2 hours early. Hold on a second. Now, I flew to the Bahamas about 5 weeks ago, and I had to present my passport. But that was it. I just show my passport, and no extra time. What's the deal?
All I remember is I flew twice internationally this year, and it wasn't a time thing. They just have a requirement. Just like, you know, certain airlines close the door, you know, arbitrarily at a certain point. This is that kind of requirement.
You got to check in 2 hours in advance?
There was that kind of a thing. I don't remember what the timing was, but I remember there were a bunch of arbitrary sort of time things.
Well, the plane leaves at a certain time, and you check in. That's what I did last time.
Good time.
All right, good times. Who's up?
Nathan, 20.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. What's up?
Good.
Adam, y'all are awesome. Y'all are great.
Thanks, Nathan.
Hilarious.
Thank you.
I got a big problem, though, guys.
Drew, what are you doing?
What? I'm laughing at you.
I heard you belch in the
phone. Oh, yeah, sorry.
Okay, go ahead, Nathan.
About a couple weeks ago, I'm with my girlfriend. I'm going down on the right, and she just kind of says, hey, you know, I don't feel anything.
Uh-huh.
You know, of course I stop and, you know, other ways of getting her off and everything, but, you know, am I doing something wrong? Or
what are you doing?
I'm just doing what I've seen in videos, but that's about it.
Are you doing using a smart bomb or are you using my carpet bombing technique?
Neither.
I see. Now, let's look at it this way. The vagina has, let's say, a top, a bottom, and a middle. What part do you focus on? Top being closest to her navel. What part are you focusing on?
About the middle.
About the middle?
Yeah. Well, the middle, you ain't going to get nothing.
Now, you got to cheat up toward the top.
You got to be at the top.
Okay.
Right.
All right.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Just stick around the top there, and you know, move in. Drew, what would you say? I mean, you got to be rhythmic. They don't want you to change it up too much, right?
Right. Soft. I mean, once flat part of the tongue.
Right. Soft. Don't jab at it like a flyweight, and yeah, flat part of the tongue, Drew.
Mm-hmm. Good time.
Nice.
Do not,
true.
Do not.
Revealing a little technique. He's a passionate, passionate man.
Do not do what you would want her to do to you.
All right. Give,
immediately stop that way of thinking.
Cool.
Right, right. That's very good. And once you get a little rhythm going, stay in it, and she'll kind of let you know what she likes. So here's what it's like. Put Nathan on hold.
Mm-hmm.
True.
Yeah.
Stop me if I'm wrong
all
here.
Right.
The first part, especially for, with a woman that you don't exactly know, the first part is sort of a feeling out part. It's like door number one,
right.
Door number two,
right.
Door number three. I mean, which
right.
one is it?
Right, right. Localizing. It's like radar.
Just, yeah, yeah. You're what it is you know the enemy's in the vicinity, but you got to lock in. I know I shouldn't look at the vagina as the enemy, Drew, but I can't help it.
I
just can't.
No, it's,
it was
I understand.
Bad rearing. Bad rearing.
Yeah.
Yeah, you understand, bro?
Yeah, bro.
Okay, so once you lock in on the area you need to be, then you stay on it, and you stay very rhythmic about it. But the beginning part is a sort of searching, and you take the area, and you work from large to small.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you kind of narrow it down, right?
Yeah. Times.
Now here's the wild card, Drew.
Mm-hmm.
The fingers.
Mm.
Some chicks are into that finger.
Right,
some
right.
chicks ain't.
Right.
And then some chicks like to mix it up a little.
Mm-hmm.
They're into the finger one night, and then the other night it's like, oh, it's too much.
Yeah.
It's too much.
Yeah, yeah.
When has a guy ever said too much?
Or changed their what they
yeah,
like.
Yeah, changed it. Like, yeah, you loved a thumb in your ass on Monday, but on Tuesday, oh, it's gross. You're making me feel dirty. It's like a guy could be into BJs or doggy or whatever he's into. He'd be into it when he was in the 10th grade. He'd be into it 10 years after he's in the grave, right?
He's walking around the nursing home into it with a walker, thinking about that.
Right, right. And we're so easy.
So
women.
So predictable.
So predictable. You women, you have to keep us on our feet all the time. You know what women are like? Women are almost, it's like driving a rental car. You never know where the wipers are. You don't know anything. But every day is like a new rental car.
Oh.
You don't know how to adjust the seat. You're in the driveway. You're spending 20 minutes to get in the goddamn seat to move. You never can get any kind of rhythm because they're always mixing it up. Us, we're like a golf cart.
Yeah.
We don't even have gears.
Unicycle.
You just hit the pedal. No, unicycle, you can't ride, though.
That's right. Right.
I mean, I can, Drew. Yeah. That's my thing. Yeah. But yeah, golf cart, just hit the pedal. That's it.
Feel much better now. This is Ryan, 23.
Unicycle.
How you doing, Adam? Dr. Drew?
What's up there, Ryan?
Hey, I had a question as far as ecstasy. Took probably about 100 pills.
Mm-hmm.
And just want to know what the long-term effects would be.
What are you experiencing so far?
Well, it was just like mild depression before.
Well,
it's getting better now, but I mean, I think it's... You know, I think it's been continuing like that for I feel different, that's for sure.
Yeah, and how about the idea of going out socializing? Is that still as appealing as it used to be?
It's getting better.
Have you had any panic attacks?
Just one time.
All right, so the way it usually goes is it's somebody who has the lifetime injury from ecstasy, which you have to have had after 100 hits, basically. Initially, somebody who's very social suddenly is not really interested in going out, then starts isolating, then starts having some panic attacks and becomes agoraphobic, doesn't want to go outside, and then gets depressed. And the depression can lighten up for a while, and then it will come back and can be really very intense. So it's worthwhile talking to a doctor who's used to treating this because it can be problematic. Okay?
So you think long-term effects would be...
Depression. Basically? Depression and memory difficulties.
Jeez. Okay.
All right, so you need to talk to a doctor who's dealt with this, because it's a very common thing right now.
Okay.
All right?
But good times.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I'm...
good times, good times.
Yeah, for sure. Logan.
Drew, give a little drug speech for a second.
All right, what would you like to hear? Which one?
Okay, give 42J.
And
no, I mean, what I'm saying is I know it sounds real trite, and we've said it before, but we haven't said it in a long time, which is, you know, no free lunch. You can get your kicks all you want, yeah, but you got to pay the fiddler at some point.
That's
it's
right.
Like,
nature, that's the way nature works. Your brain is a perfect instrument. You start effing with it, it gets broken. It's like a exquisitely sensitive, perfect instrument.
Timepiece.
I beg your pardon.
Swiss timepiece.
And you're taking it scuba diving, and you want to go weightlifting, and you hit it with a hammer. Not going to work so well. Just isn't.
Right, but here's what I'm saying. Everything in life is exactly this way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can screw around and drink and party all the way through college, but then you don't have a good job waiting for you when you graduate. And you can eat like a pig and never exercise and do whatever you want. Everything, by the way, is enticing because you can get away with it for a certain period of time.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what I'm saying?
That's right. And what sets us over the edge is a need to feel better. If we have some problems regulating our emotional lives, which many of us do because of abandonment and helplessness in childhood, or we have drives which become independently initiated. In other words, you have a genetic mechanism that once triggered starts driving you to go doing these things, then that's addiction.
All right, that's it. Yeah. I'm saying no free lunch. Do whatever you want, whatever you could start a life of crime right now. You probably wouldn't get caught for 5 years.
That's right.
But eventually you're paying the fiddler. That's across the board. That's the one common thread. That's the one theme I've noticed in life. Do all the X you want, and then comes the time when someone holds their hand out and says, "Now it's time to pay."
Yeah.
That's how it works.
That's right. Logan, 24.
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
Hey, I appreciate you guys letting me get on the air and everything, but, man, I've got to get off this phone, man, and I appreciate you at least letting me get on the show, man.
That's it?
Okay, buddy.
You're going. Why do you have to get off the phone?
Because it was a kind of a company phone, and I'm about ready to go home, and, I mean, I didn't want to just hang up and just be a little ass, and I'm just, you know what I'm saying, not to think it's a bogus call or anything, but I got to get off. I just want to stay on long enough to tell you that, you know, I appreciate you letting me get on, but I got to get off the phone now.
Logan, the really cool thing is that in the minute and a half you've been explaining that to us, could ask your question.
Well, that's cool, but I got to go, man.
All right.
Where are you working, Logan?
I'm working for basically a courier service.
Courier service,
like a currying of atomic bomb or something? It's something that's going to explode?
I think that's a car related
thing. I see.
Yeah. All right, Logan. Well, maybe next year.
All right, man. I appreciate it, though. Anyway.
All right, buddy. All right. Good times.
Good times. This is Chris 14.
Drew, we ever? Hold on. We ever had that?
I don't think so.
Hello,
Chris.
Well, hey, what's up?
Hey, Chris.
Adam,
you just want to say hi? Oh, I'm a god.
You are
Thank
the
you,
funniest
buddy.
Man alive. I've never heard anyone funnier. And Dr. Drew,
you're
the coolest.
Thank you, Chris. What's going on?
Thank you, Chris. Okay. Chris is 14, by the way. He's never heard anyone funnier.
Well, I'm starting
Chris.
High school this year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering if you guys can give me, like, life strategies. Anything good?
Life strategies for high school?
Yeah. Like
anything
you can use.
All right. And we've always said we wish that we had us stepping down and talking to ourselves when we were 15 or 16, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, here's our chance with old Chris here.
Actually, I never said us. I said me.
You. Well, we each wanted to talk to ourselves.
No, I think you wanted me to talk to you when you were 15.
That's true. All right, okay, it's you. All right.
And I wanted me to talk to me.
All right.
Actually, I wanted a BJ.
I know. Well, that's one of the things you wanted to tell your 15-year-old self, right? So go ahead.
Right. Like when the guy with the nappy hair who's in his 30s comes up wants to give a BJ, let him do it. That's my advice to you, too, Chris. It's an older guy who looks like you, but he's fatter, and he's got a little gray around the temples, wants to perform oral on you. It may be you from the future. Let him do it.
You might interrupt the time-space continuum, Adam.
Oh, that's true.
Somebody could erupt.
All right. So let's see. You're going into the ninth grade?
Yeah, this Tuesday,
okay.
Actually.
All right, so here's my... I'll go with my advice, and Drew, you can chime in, or you can just give your own when you're done.
All right, let's go.
I would say, A, time passes incredibly quickly in life. And it seems to drag on when you're in the ninth grade.
Right.
And certain things you don't want to do because they're like 3 months off.
Right.
It's like somebody says, oh, you should sign up for driver's ed, you know. Oh, no, that's two semesters away. Why bother? Get your name in early
and
on the top of the list for everything. Because why not? It's going to come around. Yes, that's the thing, Drew. I went through my whole life until I was 30 like nothing was ever going to come. You know what I mean? Like, oh, I don't have to sign up for that. I don't have to fill that out. I don't have to wait in that line. I don't have to do that. Because it's 2 months away. It's 2 weeks away. It's 2 years away. It'll never happen.
They call that depression. But okay,
is that what that is?
That.
I think it's
how about
upbringing.
That's what, of course. How about not getting obsessed about anybody? Not getting too focused on a single woman.
Getting very cathartic there, Drew, but yes.
Yes, that's what we've always said we wanted to tell ourselves.
Right, okay, here's the other thing,
I'm
too.
I'm really shy, though, so like...
Okay, so it's really going to happen to you, believe me.
But here's the dealio. If you find somebody that you're attracted to or that you have a crush on, maybe she's in the ninth grade, maybe she's in the 10th grade, give yourself like 2 weeks to make something happen. Don't have 25 months go by with you staring at her from afar and freaking her out. You like somebody, you make a move. You go up and ask her out. You go up and introduce yourself. There's no crime in that. And you know what? If she doesn't like you, fine.
That's right.
Check it off.
Move on. Move on. That's the key ingredient in this whole process. Do not.
But you can't. Move on. You can't move on unless you go talk.
I understand, but you got to talk, and then if it doesn't work out, if things aren't right, whatever, don't go back and regroup, go back to the war room. Just move on to another subject.
I usually go the whole year without talking to her, and then, you know, I wish I had when
Oh, there's one already.
That's right. I told you. Everybody in high school does that, except for the two cool dudes who have all the dates and do the whole thing. That's the whole thing. You want something? I'm not saying go up and get her in a headlock. I'm saying go up, introduce yourself, and talk to her. Guess what? If she's into you, you'll know. And if she's not, you need to know.
Yep.
Thank you.
That's it. All right. Be on the top of the list, and don't waste time.
All right. Thanks, guys. That was great.
Right.
I'll be here to use those strategies.
All right,
buddy. All right. Good times there, Chris.
Thank you. Bye.
Yeah. He's like telling his buddy, Smurl. He said cheat by getting on the cutting in line and rape. Uh-huh. Those are the two keys. And Drew said rape. Yeah, he said rise, go walk up right to her and get some.
Nice.
Drew, what's going on over there?
We've got like a timing problem, you and I.
No. No, we don't have a timing problem, Drew. You have a timing problem.
I see. Well, when I have that problem, it throws you completely off.
I'm not paying attention to you.
That's good. Just keep going.
I can work rhythmically because I know the ebb and flow of a conversation, but not you, Drew.
Right.
I want you to relax.
Right. Okay.
What'd you do? Drink some coffee?
Yeah.
Are you a little bit beaked up tonight, yes?
Not that I'm aware of. In fact, tired.
Tired, but maybe overcompensating?
Maybe.
Okay. Hey, Drew. Take a chill pill, brother.
I do.
Okay, guy?
Huh.
All right, brother?
Yeah, bro.
All right, we're going to take a break.
Cool.
You pop that chill pill. I'm going to have 3 Valium and a Jack and Coke.
Okay.
And we'll be right back after this.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. I'm in New York. That's Dr. Drew. He's in L.A. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Hey, Drew.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a little medical question here.
All right.
I have just been sweating my ass off lately.
You sweating? I'm shocked.
I know.
Shocked.
I know, but I've really been on a roll. I mean, maybe it's probably the humidity here.
Yeah.
It's been a little humid. It rained like hell today, man. I mean, it was pouring, and it was kind of cool. Everyone was apologizing, but, sorry it's raining. But I was like, hey, it's cool. I haven't seen it in a while, but I've just been sweating my ass off. What the hell's going on?
Well, what's up? I know you spritz in your palms and your forehead. You're a shifty guy.
No, not my palms.
Your forehead.
No palm sweat, just a lot of forehead sweat. But just overall, I'm a sweater. I mean, I got to slow this down a little bit. I'm getting old. Isn't it supposed to slow down when you get older?
I think if you're in better shape, it's less.
I'm in good shape. I'm working out more than ever.
All right. And you're in a humid environment. That makes it awful.
All right, but please give me a drug or something.
No, come on. You could shower, and you could use deodorant.
A shower, I'm sweating after I'm done showering.
No.
I work out, I sweat profusely, then I get in the shower, and then as I'm getting dressed, I'm sweating through my shirt because I'm not done sweating yet. What can I do, Drew? Seriously, I'm at my wit's end. I'm going insane. I eat dinner. Everyone's looking at me like, what's wrong with you? My forehead's dripping down onto my nose.
I would check your thyroid. Are you taking medication? You're drinking too much. That's it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, that's no big deal. That's cool.
Dude.
Everyone else drinks, man.
Oh, dude.
That's not the booze, is it?
Could be the booze. Could be the weird sleeping hours.
Oh.
Could be the Ambien you take regularly. Could be a thyroid. Gotta check your thyroid and make sure.
Baha! Baha! Finally. Finally, we're on to something here. I gotta check my thyroid, Drew. Was that last one? Thyroid?
Thyroid.
Yeah, all right. So it's not the sleeping medication. It's not the booze. It's not the irregular sleep or the chronic masturbation.
No.
You're saying it could be the thyroid.
Could be.
We're going to write that down.
Get that blood test, baby.
Dudes have thyroids, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, because certain parts, you know, only chicks have.
That's right. Michelle, 18. Okay. Michelle?
Hi.
Ooh. What's going on?
What's up, Michelle?
I have, like, a issue with sex. I just don't like the idea of it.
Mm-hmm.
Or with actually intercourse.
You think it's yucky, or is it scary you, or what?
I don't like the whole thought of, you know, a penis in there.
Did something happen to you?
Bitch!
No, I've never been, like, molested or anything.
Anderson.
Have you ever had sex?
What?
Have you ever had sex?
No.
Never, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And let me ask again, though. I know it's a weird thought, but is it a scary thought? Do you think maybe this is going to be painful, or does it seem embarrassing?
No, I just think it's gross.
It's gross.
Yeah.
Gross. All right. What's the furthest you've got with a guy?
I've done everything else.
So oral sex is okay?
Yeah, that's fine by me. I don't know.
And let me ask you a question with the oral sex.
Mm-hmm.
When the guy, do you see it through to completion?
Yeah.
When you're giving it to him?
Yeah.
Do you have an orgasm if he's doing it to you?
Yeah.
So you get a big mouthful of yuck, and that's okay, though, right?
Yeah.
It's very interesting, Drew.
Yeah.
It really makes you think that there, and I agree with your first inclination, that what's up? Like, would something happen? Like, maybe you don't know about it. Maybe you're blocking it out. Like, here's someone who's engaging in oral sex frequently or regularly, and the guy's finishing off. I mean, he's using that mouth like it's his sink, right?
Yeah.
No problems there.
But something inside, something coming in. So issues of receptivity are sort of a problem for you. Are you on a medication?
Off and on.
What medication?
I have bipolar.
All right. So, again, don't you think maybe that's a sign that something may be up psychologically with you, Michelle?
What do you mean?
Okay.
I can see you have some, you've made some great strides and have some deep insights into your psychological being. Maybe you need to talk to a therapist about this.
Well, I've been seeing a therapist for probably like, I don't know, like 9 or 8 years.
Okay. But I thought you said...
Have you brought this up?
Yeah.
And what kind of things do you work on in the context of this issue?
Usually they say this is good, I'm not ready.
All right. We agree with you, by the way, that this is better than going the other way, which is the other direction you might have gone.
Yeah.
Did they give you any suggestions as to what this is about or where it came from?
Uh-uh. Because, well, every time I have, like, a boyfriend, once it starts getting, like, more physical, I just back off and I get freaked out.
Were you abandoned or something growing up? What happened?
Uh-uh. My parents are still married, and, like, I have a good relationship with both of my parents.
And yeah. You always have had?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm done, Drew. All That's
right.
enough.
All right, have you ever seen a porno?
Yeah.
And what do you think of that?
I get, you know.
All right, get rid of her, Drew.
All right,
that's enough.
The fact is, I mean, there's something peculiar about it, but maybe she's just sort of underdeveloped. You know what I mean? She's immature because of the bipolar illness sort of delaying her, but she's in treatment. She's had therapy. She's opening up.
Yeah.
This should take care of itself, and it's a much better way to be than how she might be. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah.
Which is basically just a bottomless penis pit.
That's right. A penis receptacle. Penis rest.
True. Better than bottomless penis pit?
Yeah, better.
All right.
Yeah. It's kind of too obvious.
Really? Bottomless penis pit?
Yeah.
Too obvious.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard me say that before?
Probably. Be serious.
You'd be great on the stand. Jesus, probably.
Well, I mean, the probability is with me that you've repeated things. You know what I mean?
Never
the odds are with me.
Listen, let me explain one thing very quickly, Drew.
Yeah.
First off, if I had said bottomless penis pit before and Anderson heard it, even if Anderson thought he heard something that sounded even close to that, don't you think he would have chimed in by now and reminded me that I said it before?
And dropped it in?
Don't you think Anderson would have chimed in by now and reminded me that I've said it before?
Yes.
Not, I'm not talking about dropped it in. I'm talking about said I said it before.
I see, yes.
Think about Anderson's psychological construct.
Yes, yes.
And think about what his role is on this show.
Yes.
And think about him.
His glee.
Knowing.
Yes.
Yes, yes. Okay, so now you know I haven't said it before.
It was so obvious that I didn't even need to come on and say that.
There you go.
Let's go to break, all right?
Yeah, penis holder.
Look, you're going to Europe tomorrow. Relax.
Penis holder.
Relax.
Hey, y'all. Loveline. I'm Adam. I'm in New York. That's Dr. Drew.
Yeah.
2 o'clock out here. Car's picking me up. 6 a.m.
Yeah.
And you know, you get that phone call. A phone call about 5:41.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm just telling you I'm here. It's like, all right, I'm here too. I got a boner, and I'm not awake yet.
Where are you staying?
Well, I don't want to say, Drew.
Four Seasons?
Yeah.
Oh, you're such a bastard.
It's nice.
No, S.
You know what I like about the Four Seasons?
Everything.
Four Seasons is great, but the Four Seasons does stuff that you don't even need.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, you come in, you know, first off, there's a guy trying to hand you slippers every 10 seconds. You know, there's slippers everywhere. It's like, I spent my whole life barefoot. You got nice carpet in here. I walk around barefoot. No, put the slippers on.
Man, you're the guy that was digging a ditch with a coffee can when you were 24.
That's right. Underneath a condemned building. And now, you know what I like is... You know, they turn that bed down. They put every, you know, they got the big showers. They got the TV in the bathroom. You know, the person comes in and folds the edge of the toilet paper so it's presentable. You know, like a chick's got to come in at 9 o'clock to fold your toilet paper so the edge comes down to a point like a picket fence. You know, which I, by the way, I don't want to talk too much about it because there's an impending lawsuit. But I stabbed myself in the ass with that point drill.
No.
Yeah, I can't. That's all my lawyer's permitting me. Wait a minute. He's not. No, he's shaking his head. No, he's in the room with me, Drew. I can't talk about it anymore. But I rammed that pointed part of the fold up my ass. But the other thing I like is they actually take. I don't even know what it is. It's sort of a cross between a placemat. And a carpet remnant, but they put it right at the edge of the bed.
Oh, yeah.
Not at the front of the bed, but the part where you climb in.
Where your feet touch the ground.
Yeah, you don't have to step off of the carpet onto the bed. You step onto this little, like, doily.
Yeah, it's a doily.
Yeah, and there's slippers. Again, there's slippers there. I have a pair of slippers from the time I climb out of my slippers to the time I get into bed. There's an extra set of slippers there for that 3 feet. My feet has to swing around.
Yeah, good times.
They're called the interim slippers, Drew.
Good times.
Yeah, sometimes I just wear one when I'm trying to keep it real. You know what I'm saying?
Nice.
Yeah. Okay, who's on, Drew?
Let's go to Joel, 19.
Yeah.
What's up?
Not much.
What's up, Joel?
You got a question?
Yeah, I was just wondering how to get rid of paranoia and verbal abuse.
Paranoia and verbal abuse?
Yeah.
Somebody's doing that to you?
Well, no, I do it to my girlfriend.
Are you scared she's cheating or what?
Yeah, I'm like always trying to check up on her and stuff like that. And I've been with her for about 8 months, and I mean, I love her and everything. And she loves me, and that's just like...
Well, that's a good way to treat her when you love someone. Treat them like crap. That's good.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. The best way to remedy this problem at 19 is wait about 11 years.
Wait about 11 years?
It magically goes away. It
well,
goes
no,
away
this is, I think
a little
this,
bit every year.
I think this is more than the routine 19-year-old uptight male stuff. I think this is the real thing.
Yeah.
Would you ever hit her or hurt her in any way?
No, it's nothing physical. We'll both, like, joke around physical, but it's nothing serious. But, I mean, that's just playing around. But, like, it's more like verbal, you know what I mean? When I get real mad, you know, I mean, I'll put her down, you know, I'll make fun of her, call her names, stuff like that. And it's just starting to really affect our relationship, so.
Well, you're abusive, Joel. You can stop.
Yeah.
If you can't stop, you're going to lose her.
Yeah.
It's a pretty simple equation. And if you don't lose her, then there's something wrong with her. That she would stick around for that.
Uh-huh.
Well, maybe that'll be his next angle when he's beating her up. What's wrong with you that you'd stay with me?
Were you abused when you were growing up?
No.
Verbally?
Not verbally, no.
Physically?
No. I mean, mm-hmm. I know, well, I mean, I've had problems in my family where, like, because I'm the middle child.
Yeah.
It seems like my parents are always picking on me, you know?
Yeah, abusing you.
Yeah, I don't know if that really has anything to do with it. But.
Well, that's where you learned that was okay.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Right? That's what you expect from people that love you, is that they would tease you and shame you and abuse you, and that's not okay. And a healthy person will not put up with that.
Okay.
All right.
It's time to stop, all right?
And I just have one more question.
This is Adam's advice of a couple nights ago. It's okay to behave like a sane person.
Yeah, even if you're not, even if every fiber in your body tells you not to act sane, just act sane. Then society will believe you and leave you alone.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Right. Thanks, Adam. Good.
I guess
something else, Joel?
Yeah, I just have a question. Me and my girlfriend, she never had anal sex before until I did with her. And we've had it about 4 times now, and she says she doesn't enjoy it. Like, she says, you know, I mean, it feels yucky or whatnot.
Bottomless penis pit.
Yes.
Thank you.
But, yeah. Like, I don't know. I was wondering, do you know if girls really actually do enjoy that or not?
Rarely. Your girlfriend doesn't. And let's go ahead. That's part of your little abusive acting out.
Don't be a jackass, Joel. She says she doesn't like it. I don't care if every other woman on the planet loves it. If your girlfriend says she doesn't like it, then she doesn't like it. Stop screwing around.
Jordan, 15.
Jesus Christ.
Hey, what's up?
Hey,
Jordan.
Hey, Adam. I watch the Man Show every now and then. You're awesome. And, Drew, I saw Teen Species a little while ago, and that was just excellent.
Thank you.
Incredible. I loved it.
Thank you very much.
And
I like the way you get the kind of backhanded compliment to Adam. I watch that magic every once in a while.
Well, he's 15. He's got a very busy schedule.
That's right.
Yeah,
but he caught all 3 hours of the Teen Species, dude.
Sure. At least Adam understands. Thanks, man. I had a question about birth control. Like, what's the best condom for guys, and what's the best, you know, birth control pill for girls?
Well, the best birth control pill is the one that she can, that accommodates her in terms of, how can I put this, remembering to take the pill. If she can't remember to take it, she should take the shot. If she can't remember to take the week off and has to keep taking pills every day to make sure she takes it at the same time, she should be on a 28-day packet. And the type of pill should be the one that gives her the least side effects. And sometimes it takes a little fooling around to find the right one.
Yeah.
So he's asking what the best pill is, not the best method, right?
Well, it really doesn't matter, you know, which is the most effective, which will keep her from getting pregnant.
The pill.
The
pill.
Yeah.
Yeah, if she's responsible. The pill. All right. Is she?
So.
If not, it'd be the shot,
Depo-Provera
shot. But that has a lot of side effects, so.
Yeah, I heard about that. And I had a physical the other day with my doctor, and he said something about, like, there was, like, some kind of thing called foam for birth control. I don't know what the heck that is. I never heard of it before.
Well, there's stuff, suppositories and foam you can put inside the vagina that sort of slows the sperm down, but those are not very effective at all. I would absolutely not recommend that.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
All right.
Good time.
Keep the, if she's not on the pill yet, keep that emergency contraceptive pill around in case there's a mistake, all right?
Yeah, and one more thing is, Trojan like the most effective condom here?
Because
that's all I hear on your guys' commercials.
Well, it's brought to you by Trojan, America's number one condom.
Trojan. there are consumer reports out on condoms every once in a while. Trojan always does well, and Durex does well. And so you want to stay with name brand, not colored, no fancy. Don't get too fancy, all right?
Yeah, I know. I heard that from you on one of the other shows.
All right.
Yeah, all right. Yeah.
Good times. All right, George.
All right, bye.
Don't use the ones I used in high school. I used the sesame ones.
There, Big Bird?
Well, you've seen the sesame. No, that's not a bad one. No, this was Oscar. He'd come out of his garbage can, but it wasn't his garbage can. It was ball sack. Oh,
the Grouch.
I'd use the ones that were actually covered in sesame seeds,
like
the bagels.
I see. For her pleasure.
Yeah, and then we'd switch to Poppy at a certain point, but a lot of them came off in the vagina, and it turned out to be a mess. So, no frills. I agree with Drew.
Good times. Tom, 24.
Hi.
Hey. Tom.
Hey. I was calling just because I was wondering if there's anything I can do about the obsession with anal sex.
Who are you with? Your girlfriend?
No, I'm separated from my wife right now.
Because of this obsession?
No.
What happened?
I cheated on her, actually.
And she found out about it?
I told her.
Why'd you tell her?
I felt guilty.
So to relieve your conscience, you told her and ruined the marriage. Interesting. And was it because she wouldn't have anal sex with you that you had to cheat, or you felt you needed to cheat?
I just felt that I did, I guess. I was drinking a lot.
So maybe this is part of your alcoholism.
I believe that's probably part of it.
All right. So when you're drinking, you'll do all kinds of stuff that you wouldn't otherwise do. And you come from an alcoholic family system?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you've been raised in a chaotic alcoholic system where stability and intimacy are things that are sort of threatening and lead you to feel perhaps exposed to the potential of helplessness. You're using, drinking around everything that escalates, that gets going, and you'll do all kinds of crazy things when you're loaded. And when you're in your disease, it's part of the disease process. It takes over. So how about doing something about that?
Well, I don't understand the part where he's obsessed with anal, though. I mean, does he, like, keep renting movies that, like, does he have the Ass Master series or the Ubangus Uranus series or...
No, I don't have any of that, no.
Well, what's going on? I mean, how's this affecting you? You're not with a woman.
It's just, it's bothering me because my wife doesn't like it, and I really can't have sex with her unless I have that, so.
Really? Really? Just, you can't just have the regular intercourse and a nice BJ?
Too boring.
Wow. I wish I could get to that place. Wouldn't it be great to be there, Drew?
Yeah, no.
I guess you're right.
If there's something wrong where you need high levels of arousal, again, that is part of this disease process. Suggests that something sort of overwhelming happened to you growing up. Were you beaten or something?
No, nothing really happened that I can recall. Nothing that I can recall.
Well, that may just be part of the disease. You're in the disease enough where in order to get any kind of experience, you have to have these very highly arousing experiences. Using any other drugs besides alcohol?
Pot.
Cocaine?
No.
Just pot and alcohol?
Yeah.
All right. Well, yeah. It's time to look into this because it's already ruined your marriage. I predict that with treatment of the alcoholism, this obsession will settle down. You'll always probably like it. But you won't be ruining relationships over it.
Okay.
All right.
All right. All right. It sounds depressed.
Oh,
well, that's enough out of time.
That's part of the deal. Pot and alcohol equals depression.
I wonder if he's sweating profusely like me.
Well, yeah. What do you think? Seth, 16. Seth?
Yeah?
What's going on?
Every time I masturbate, first of all, I want to say, Adam, you're the best, dude.
Thanks, Seth.
You're so funny, man.
Thanks, buddy.
And also, whenever I masturbate, I get like a burning kind of stinging sensation in my testicles. And I went to a doctor once, and he told me basically just I have to live with it.
Well, Drew, have you ever heard anyone having a burning sensation in their testicles?
No, that's bizarre. Tell us more. When does it occur? How long does it last?
Right after it comes out.
Is it in the testicles or is it down sort of in the underneath in the perineal area?
Kind of a little bit of both, but more in the testicles.
In the testicles themselves. And how long does it last for?
About 5 minutes.
5 minutes. And is it radiate in any way?
No.
No, it just stays right there in the testes.
What do you mean radiate? Mean moving outward?
Does it go towards the rectum or up into the abdomen or anything like that?
No, it stays right in the same spot.
In the testes?
Yeah.
And the doctor told you to live with it?
Yep, basically.
And you told the doctor, I beat off, and when I'm done beating off, I feel this burning.
Yeah.
It's probably something along the order of a pubococcygeus muscle spasm, which can happen after orgasm. And usually that pain feels sort of visceral and kind of radiate towards the testes, but mostly gets sort of down between the testes and the anus in that never land.
Wait a minute, Trude. Do you believe this guy told his doctor that he beats off and then he feels the burning and the doctor told him to live with it?
Something that effect could have gone on. I mean, he could have checked him out and said, I don't find anything. It's just, you know, don't worry about it.
How many times a day is this cat good for? Ask him, Drew, because if this
shut
is
up.
Burning, I want to know. Is he telling someone to shut up?
Yeah, my little brother's messing around here.
All right, how many times a day do you beat off?
About once a day.
Once a day, even with the burning, huh?
Yeah, I have to tolerate it.
Yep.
Can't stop.
That's what I love about guys. What are you going to do? You
got to
bite the bullet.
Yeah, it's, you know,
I mean, you got to beat. Drew, I mean, you know, you got to beat off 29, 30 days a month, right?
Yeah. What are you going to do?
There's a little discomfort.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
Just like the doctor said, live with it. Here's a guy.
Stay in bed or not stay in bed and not beat off. I mean, you got to keep trucking.
That's right.
All right, what's that?
I can't take any medicine for anything?
No, not likely at 16. This has been going on how long?
About a month.
A month.
Yeah.
You said you saw a doctor about it a long time ago.
Yeah, about a month ago.
I don't believe this guy. I just don't. He's got a burning sensation in his testicles, which is, by the way, we've never heard of on this show. Number two, it's been going on for about a month, and so he went to his doctor a long time ago. And what 16-year-old named Seth? Now, all guys named Seth are jack-offs anyway. That's a clinically proven fact, Drew.
Well,
I've done research.
There is one caveat. 16-year-old named Seth from Riverside.
Hey, there is a river in Riverside, man.
Okay.
He goes, right. Would you get rid of...
Shut up!
Was that Seth?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, listen, Drew, that's how you know it's bogus.
Yeah.
You know, you're always listening to the voice and the affect and what's going on. No 16-year-old goes to the doctor and says, I'm beating off and my balls hurt.
You're right.
Thank you.
All right. This is Scott, 18.
Hey, first of all, Dr. Drew, I'd just like to say that I really respect you.
Thanks, Scott.
I have never heard you, you know, stumble on a subject that you've tackled.
Anyway.
Yeah. You got to listen to a whole show.
All right. Well, anyway. Okay. First of all, I haven't masturbated for, you know, over 6 months now. And the last time I had intercourse was spring break. So I haven't really had a real ejaculation for that long.
Well, what about nighttime?
Barely. Like, it, a little bit. You know, it wasn't really... full explosion.
How do you know you're asleep?
Because when I wake up, it wakes me up.
Drew, it's like when you wet your bed in the sleep, sometimes you do a couple of squirts and then you wake up, you know?
Right, exactly.
You don't flood the room.
Right.
Anyway.
What's up? What's up that at age 18 you haven't done anything for 6 months?
I find it nasty after, you know, getting... the golden prize. I refuse to go back to it. It's kind of weird.
Yeah, I say that every night, but I'm back every night. Well, why what's wrong with you? What's up with you?
I don't like to do it. It makes
you
sick.
Makes you sick.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
Are you religious? Well, listen, one thing somebody told me, I was in my 20s, but you don't have to eat it.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Is that unhealthy anyway?
Is it unhealthy?
I didn't swallow, but I mean, I was 27 years old when I found that out.
Is it unhealthy? Well, no, not necessarily. I mean, nature will take care of it for you. It will emit during the night.
I'm wondering, are you saying is not doing it unhealthy or is doing it unhealthy?
No, it's not. Is that any, you know, does that affect your arousal? Like,
yeah.
Be able to not get it up as much?
Well, your testosterone levels will kind of drop off a little bit. It will, but that's all right.
Will that affect, like, my sex drive? And
yeah, a little bit. Maybe.
What's up with this guy? Scott, are you religious?
No, not necessarily. I don't like to do it ever since, you know, having sex.
And you had sex once?
No. I had a steady girlfriend a few months back.
And so if you found another girlfriend, you'd continue to have sex?
Oh, definitely. I'm dying to have sex. Oh, but I don't like
You don't look at stuff on the computer or have any porn movies or anything?
It doesn't necessarily turn me on. I went to a strip club like 2-3 weeks ago, and I was aroused only once when I was getting a lap dance. Like, I had, you know, full frontal everything. And it just wasn't working for me.
Are you on any medication?
No.
Do you have any medical problems?
No.
Any other changes in your constitution or symptoms?
No, nothing.
All right. It might be worth having a medical evaluation just to make sure there's nothing going on. But, yeah, maybe that's just you. It's no big deal.
It's fine. All right.
All right?
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Just the fact that it's such a big change is a little concern to me.
Let me say this right now. I want to go on the record. I could not hang with Scott.
I have no doubt. I was going to say that. I said, Adam, I know you're offended, incensed, and you could not hang. However, doesn't make Scott a bad guy.
Well, you know, but to me, you know, people say, like, that guy's a racist, and I may not be the race that he's racist against, but it's a turnoff, man.
Yeah.
I can't hang with that dude.
This is
you
like
know what
that.
I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's what this is. That's what this is for me. He's a spermist.
Ejaculist.
He's an ejaculist. Wait a minute. I thought I was ejaculist. He's something.
You're an ejaculator.
Oh, thank you, buddy. All right, what are we going to do? Take a break?
I think so.
Who do we got coming up?
Let's see. We've got Paul, who's dating. I guess he's black and dating a white woman and wants some questions answered.
Oh, that's there. There's my racist.
There you go.
All right, we'll be back after this. Buddy, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's my partner and on-again, off-again lover, Dr. Drew.
Oh, are we off again?
I said on-again, off-again.
Yeah, but you always say it like that when we're in trouble.
I can't tell you a lie, Drew.
Is this why I'm not going to Europe with you?
We
need to spend more time together. We need to, like, sit down and just have dinner face-to-face once in a while.
Yeah, we try,
Your schedule just sucks, man. It just really is getting to me.
I tried, man, but it's like we're drifting apart.
What do you mean?
I can't breathe, man.
Oh, I see.
I can't breathe because it's like you're trying too hard. You need to just relax and let it happen. And if it happens, great, man. But you can't make it happen, okay? What I'm saying, and I'd like to get on top every once in a while. You know what I'm saying? My ass is not a pincushion. You hear what I'm saying, brother? Bottomless penis pit. Ass is not a bottomless penis pit. You understand?
You just need to know this really hurts.
I know it does, and I couldn't think of a good way to tell you, and I didn't want to say it when I was in the studio because I know...
Because you're a coward.
You scare me. You get hostile, man. Your passion is so powerful that it consumes you, okay? I'm in New York, and I'm saying, let's just take this time...
Is this thing really on?
All right, what are we doing here, Drew?
We're talking to Paul, who's 16. Paul?
Hey, what's up? First off, I'd like to say what's up, Adam. You rock. And then Dr. Drew, what's up, man?
Paul?
Good times.
Yeah. So what's going on between me and this chick? I mean, I've had interracial relationships in the past. And first off, I'm actually Indian, actually.
Indian. An American Indian.
Yeah, American Indian. And my dad's Irish and English.
Okay. So you're...
So what has happened in the past, I've had an interracial relationship like twice. And both of them haven't worked out at all. I mean, like... really, like, terrible, just horrible.
Well, what interracial? You're Caucasian, 50%.
Well, like half. You know, you still have that little differential, you know. I mean, I'm a passable black person. I mean, people would just be like, oh, okay, that's just another black dude. But, I mean, he just looks like a guy off the Jerry Curl box or something, you know.
But you're a North American Indian.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Wait a minute. Well, hold on a second. Wait a second. You're one half American Indian.
Yeah.
And the other half is like Irish and English.
Yeah, my dad's like Irish and English.
And everyone, okay, American. Everyone, quiet down. Everyone thinks you're black?
Yeah, come on, I have brown skin, so basically, I mean, everybody's like, whatever, it's...
Well, so, listen, I worked with a bunch of guys that had brown skin. They were from, like, El Salvador, Nicaragua, and Mexico. No one thought they were black.
I mean, just in always my eyes, I mean, ever since I was little, I always had a problem with it because my aunt that I met for the first time on my dad's side, she was just like, oh, yeah, you're just black, you know? She was like, you're not my brother's son or whatever. So yeah. I was like, whatever.
So because of something an aunt said to you 10 years ago, you're harboring resentments against the world?
What?
So because of something an aunt said to you 10 years ago, you're harboring resentments against the world?
No.
Well, everybody does this to him.
That just affected me in a way. That just affected me. And like ever since, and then I got old. And then it was just like always in my head. I was just another black dude out here. You know, when I moved out here. Because I moved out here. My mom's like was living out in Belize. And I was born out there. And then I moved out here. In, like, 93, like, when I was 6 or whatever.
Well, yeah. Where are you living now?
I'm living in California now, in Los Angeles.
Oh, okay. Drew, don't let him say out here without saying where he is. I don't know where that is.
All right.
And is Bleef Blythe?
What's that?
Is Bleef Blythe?
I don't understand the question.
Where did you move out from?
Oh, Belize City.
Belize.
City.
Oh, okay.
Belize City in Central America.
Oh, okay. I thought that was Belize.
No.
Okay, well, look, here's the deal. Your aunt said to you, you're just another black kid when you're half, when you're 6 and you're half Indian and half Irish? What are you talking about?
Hey, that was her comment, you know?
Yeah, I understand, but you've allowed that to affect your sense of yourself ever since?
I mean, everyone just looks at you as some black guy?
And who cares, by the way? What is the big deal?
Who cares? But, I mean, come on, South Central. Come on, now. I live in South Central. It's Los Angeles, South Central. You know,
well, what are you doing, though? You wearing, like, a do-rag and your jeans hanging that down around your knees?
No.
Or what's going on?
I'm a skater. I just dress how I want to.
Are you... Do you dress? Do you look black? Do you talk black? Do you wear your hair in that way? What's your hair look like? Your hair should be straight.
Yeah.
But then you date people who are not a North American Indian.
Exactly.
And you make a big deal out of that?
No. Not a big deal out of it. It just doesn't work out because, like I said, I've had relationships like that in the past. And it's like, I mean, I'm just frustrated over it. At the point,
Why don't they work out?
Okay, the first one was with a straight up a Caucasian or whatever, right? And that just didn't work out because she had a kid already. She had a kid at 12, and then I found out about it, and she didn't want me to find out about it.
All right, but why do you even bring race into that one at all?
He's an idiot.
Because well, that was just because she was just like, you know what I'm saying? She got tired of my color and everything like that.
No, she did not. No, she did not, Paul. That's
straight
ridiculous.
Straight up like that. She was just like,
she knew that was a button that she could push with you, and so she went down that path to try to upset you.
I guess. Well,
of course.
But I know for sure the second one. The second was this other chick. And then she was like, just like me, half white, but she looked more white than me. And so then, and mostly her.
Why did she start dating you then?
Because we were like friends from like kids, like ever since.
Oh, why would she be friends with some half breed like you?
And especially, she's not even Caucasian. Again, race comes in inappropriately. She wasn't even.
What are you talking about, Paul? Put Paul on hold. Let me just rant here for a second. Look, there's racism out there. Not about a tenth as much as what everyone yaks about, but it's out there. And some people get the short end of the stick. But let me just say this. There's everyism out there. That doesn't make racism any better. But there's every ism. Ugly people get the ass kicked out of them. Fat people get the ass kicked out of them. And, yeah, unfortunately, so do people with darker skin oftentimes. But you know what? And here's the thing no one ever talks about. A lot of people, guilty white people, go out of their way to try to compensate for the bad ones, for the few bad ones that try to make those people feel bad. And they really do. And I don't know if anybody ever realizes that. No one ever talks about it. It's like this weird little secret amongst whitey. But most us sort of liberal, guilty white people, we go out of our way. We're nicer. We're nicer because we feel bad for what our ancestors did or what the guy down the block may have done. But listen, if you're going to wear this thing like it's some kind of badge, you're going to just find it and see it everywhere. Bad crap happens to everyone all the time. People are told no. They're told, I don't want to date you. They're dumped by their girlfriends and boyfriends. Their job applications are turned down. They're cut off on the highway, and people stick their finger out the window. People beat up people and steal from people. People do all sorts of horrible things to people. But if you're a white guy, you just figure, well, S happens. If you're something else, you think it's because of your skin, and that's a sad way to go through life. Does it happen sometimes because of your skin? Yeah, it does. But you know what? Not nearly as much as it happens just because it happens, and that's the way life works.
There's another layer of this with Paul, too, which is he is so conscious of this and so uptight about it and so focused on it that when he has a girlfriend who's angry with him and wants to get back at him and hurt him, she goes right for that button. And that just confirms his sense of the world right there. Boom. She just goes, it's because of your skin, knowing that that upsets him, knowing that that's his weak spot.
True. There's no race, by the way, who has straighter hair than the American Indians. You ever seen an American Indian with a fro? American Indians got straight hair, goes down to their knees, and it doesn't wrinkle, it doesn't bend. It's just like straight away. And the other half is English and Irish, the other second straight hair race. So what is she talking about? He's got straight hair. What's he talking about?
I don't know. Let's move on.
All right. Stop looking for it, you jackass. And I'm sorry, by the way, what your aunt did to you. But I bet if you go back and do a little history on it, she didn't call you a black kid.
Tim.
Hello, yes?
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, pretty good. Doctor, do I have a question for you, sir?
Yes.
I have a prostate cancer question. Benign hyperplasia or adenocarcinoma of the prostate gland.
Well, those are two different things.
Correct. I understand that, sir. My question to you is, my pathology instructor, I'm a medical student, was saying that mechanical stresses of, like, let's say, overuse or, like, ejaculating all the time will, in the long run, produce one form of cancer of the prostate.
No evidence of that. However...
Boring!
However...
Mechanical use of the prostate. I like that.
Over-stimulating the gland, like excessive masturbation to the point that you're hurting yourself and causing discomfort and you compulsively masturbate in spite of it sort of not being functional any longer... That can contribute to pathology of the prostate gland, not specifically cancer. On the other hand, if you don't ejaculate enough, you can get prostatic hypertrophy. I mean, hygiene of the prostate is considered not delaying ejaculation, regular releases. You know, this is considered hygiene. Limit alcohol, don't lift heavy weights, don't do a lot of Valsalva. That's prostate hygiene.
No,
so there's a balance between the two.
No, correct. I understand that. I just wanted to know where you draw the line when it comes to telling your young listeners when they say, doctor, you know, masturbating, is that okay? Yes, it's okay. You know, we all have sex. But I want to know if there's a point of, let's just say, over sex is going to hurt the prostate in the long term with someone like 45 years old.
I think you're confusing several issues simultaneously. Listen, there's yet another issue, which is there's a point at which testosterone levels are sort of at an optimal high, and maybe that slightly adds the risk of adenocarcinoma. Maybe the best place to be from the standpoint of risk of prostate cancer is underuse of the sexual organs, so that testosterone levels are dropping. But that's not a way to go through life. And the other hand, you know, people, you know, and the average amount of sex per week is about two times a week for an adult.
Correct.
And for a teenager, it's slightly more than that. And if they're not masturbating at that level, they're not maintaining prostate hygiene.
Okay, well, I'm trying to figure out, you know, what to tell my patients in the near future. So that's asking your opinion, sir.
Well, what would yours be?
The way I was taught at my school was that excessive use in the long run will form some form of prostate cancer. And we were told to tell our patients to reduce the quantity of sex, or like the teenagers not to masturbate every day.
You better pull the scientific literature on that, because it simply isn't out there. You have to find the primary documents yourself, because it's not out there. But what would that number be? How often should somebody have sex and be healthy?
Well,
given that the average in this country is twice a week.
Hold on. I beat off three times during this conversation,
No doubt. So how often should it be?
Well, no, I understand, sir, that every person has their own...
How often should it be, given that the average in this country is twice a week?
Oh, so that's three times a week right now.
Okay, so you think it should be three times a week?
Okay, going with the average, yes, sir.
All right, so the masturbation should be about that, or maybe a little more, because they're at peak levels of testosterone at 18.
All right, listen, this is enough. Yeah. Even I don't want to hear about this, but I'll tell you what I'll do, fellas. I will make you both happy.
Yeah.
Drew says the average two times a week. He says, you know, three times a week seems healthy. I'm just going to just put those numbers. I'm going to combine them. I'm going to go 32 times a week.
You're going to do that? Oh, I see. Three and two. Good. Good.
Right. Wait, that's right. That's what you meant. That's the way I heard it.
We can't listen to your standards until you bring it up with your therapist.
Oh, please. Why? The masturbation is the least of my worries, Drew. Right now, it's my excess and profuse sweating. It's really driving me insane. I got to take a pill, Drew. What about that? First off, every guy gets prostate cancer eventually, right?
100%. If you live to 100, 100% of men have prostate cancer.
Okay. Okay, so there you go. That's number one. Number two, he has no data to support this, but on the other hand, it's one of these things where it's like, well, every guy eventually comes down with prostate cancer, and you want to attribute it to something, so you find the culprit. I don't know what else you can do. And now that guys are living longer, it seems like we need to retrofit our prostates, Drew.
Oh, yeah?
I mean, like... We got like 70-year-old prostates. I mean, we got a prostate that's in us. You know, it's like a car part that's like good for 100,000 miles. But we didn't know cars were going to start going to 300,000.
That's right.
And now they're all breaking down.
Well,
we got all the other parts going good. Why can't we get that prostate on board with us?
Well, I don't know how to answer that.
All right, but you know what I'm saying.
I know what you're saying.
It wears out. It's like a set of tires.
Damn.
Right, we're going to take ourselves a little break, and we'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. Oh, forget about that phone number. I'm out here in New York. Drew is in L.A. And, yeah, about this close to dropping trout right now, baby. Yeah. Oh, yeah, buddy. Woo. I tell you, man, it's good. You know, I swear, I drop trout, Drew, man. Oh, man, don't think I won't, man. Woo! What's going on there, Drew?
Here's Flora. She's 50.
Oh, Flora.
Flora. Laura?
Yes, hi.
Hey.
How you doing?
Good.
How old is she?
50.
50. All right. What's up there, Flora?
Okay. My man is 50 as well. Uh-huh. And he told me not, a week or so ago that we use Estraglide, right? Uh-huh. And he said it makes him numb. You ever heard of such?
Not specifically, but I think those, some of those agents can leave you sort of desensitized a little bit, I bet. Doesn't surprise me that much.
Oh.
Why, is he having trouble having an orgasm?
I think so. We can go on for hours and hours, and boy, but I've had about 20, and I'm trying to tell him to hurry up, and he still can't, so.
Yeah, I think he may be just blaming the Astroglide. Maybe just all that time of activity is making him numb, you know?
Yeah.
You think?
What finally gets him there?
Well, he likes me to flip over and, you know, I go from the back. Not
Hold
the back
on,
door
down.
Now. I'm not talking about
no,
that.
No, slow down. I'm not 50, but at 50, can you turn over by yourself?
Heck yeah.
Okay, all right.
I mean, we're very spry.
Sure.
You know, I'm pretty good. I do yoga and everything.
All right. So you flip over on your own.
Yeah.
And he goes at you a little doggy, and that finishes him off. Why don't you start that a little earlier?
Well, we've done that, too.
And?
Still a long time.
Yeah.
I'm ready to say, I'm steady saying, baby, come on, let's go, hurry up.
Oh, no, that adds 10 minutes.
Huh?
Each syllable adds 15 minutes.
Each hurry up syllable.
Oh.
Hurry up. Oh, 45 minutes. But is...
well, you know, I'm tired now, you know, after an hour, you know, so we've been...
How often are you guys doing this?
Twice a week, maybe.
Twice a week,
all right. Twice a week. And now what about the oral sex? Does he enjoy that? Will that finish him off?
Yeah, we're perfectly fine there.
Yeah, why don't you just polish him off that way?
I can't do that because he's got such control that I go on and on. My mouth gets tired and my hand gets tired. I can't.
Hurry up!
Wow.
This may not, Flora, you think this is a control thing, like he's holding back.
That's what I'm thinking, too.
No, he's not. No, no, no.
That's what I'm thinking, too.
He's not.
Is that true?
Yeah, I heard. I know.
He says he's not.
Flora, he is not. I guarantee it.
He's not.
No. No way he's holding back. There's no such thing. Not like that.
No, listen, I don't want to sound, I don't want to get into this ageism here, but guys, when they've with a 50-year-old chick and they've been together for 100 years, there ain't no holding back. Believe me, if he could open up a spigot in his nuts and drain a thing in a Dixie cup and throw it at you instead of having sex, he would do it. And women just, you know, the thing about women is it's like they really refuse that guys do anything.
Well, they refuse
it's
that.
Not intentional.
Right. They refuse that guys are different and that they don't have willful control over everything.
And they just refuse that just whatever a guy is doing, if it's different than the way they would have done it or the way they feel or the way they think, then he's doing it.
He's doing it too many.
He's trying to do something.
Well,
he's trying to do something. Yeah, listen, this guy wants to come worse than an inmate. I am sure of it. And he just can't. I mean, why he's flipping you over, he's getting the oral, he can't do it. I would say make sure he ain't beaten off.
Yeah.
A number one.
Make sure he's not on medication. That's why he's 50 years old. Is he on any medication, Flora?
No medication.
All right, no medication. And, you know, at 50, you're even passionate guys, their frequency slows down. Maybe they ought to have sex less frequently.
Yeah, go down to once a week.
Yeah.
Or just tell him to polish himself off. You give him some good sex, that's fine.
Good times.
Yeah, good times.
This
good
is
times.
Katie, 19.
Oh, wow, am I on?
Yep.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I was just calling in, because the one guy who called in saying his aunt called him a black guy or whatever.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, actually, I was thinking she probably said blackie, which is an Irish-Spanish cross. It just means an Irishman with darker skin and dark hair.
Except she is the North American Indian. Or was that the dad's sister?
What I was saying, though, is that she probably just used that term to define it.
She was the whitey. And she said Blackie. That's an interesting hypothesis.
And what did Blackie mean?
Blackie is an Irish person who has Spanish blood in them, so it gives them dark, straight hair.
Interesting.
And sometimes they get darker skin, too.
Interesting.
Yeah. I grew up with that one.
You're that. You have that.
I am. I've got the light skin, but I've got the long, dark hair.
Could you relate to what he was talking about?
Yes, I can, actually. Nobody in my family, though. It's mostly friends of mine say it jokingly, but...
No, but, I mean, the fact that you see that in everything and anything that happens to you and people poke at you because they know it's a soft spot for you.
She's got white skin and dark hair. She looks like one of the Coors sisters.
I'm about as white as they come. I don't tan.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I've got black hair.
They just physically call her Blackie.
White with black hair. Wow.
They call her Blackie like you call a dog Blackie.
What?
Yeah, that's a good look.
Yeah,
she looks like one of those chicks from the Coors. Whatever that band is where those hot chicks play the fiddle and stuff. Where are they from, Drew?
You can
play the fiddle?
Mm-hmm.
Where is it?
Nine.
Get it out.
Oh, God, I haven't seen it in 2 years.
Oh.
All right.
It's off
that's
the
enough.
Somewhere.
But thank you. Thank you for the information.
Mm-hmm. No problem.
All right. So that's maybe they're calling them Blackie like how the Mix do it.
Interesting.
What's next?
Jacqueline, 14.
Hi. I had a question about, my boyfriend and what I should do.
Mm-hmm.
A, B, C, D, E, mm-hmm. F, G.
Go ahead.
I see.
I'm sorry that I have a baby voice.
That's all right. You're 14. I'll let you slide.
Yeah. Well, he cheated on me, and we've been going out for, 10 months. And then we just recently broke up, a week ago. And he had sex with, an 18-year-old girl.
How old is he?
He's 14.
All right.
But he's a grade younger than me.
Okay.
And, I mean, I lost my virginity to him, and I risked so much, like, from dealing with my mom just trying to get with him.
Well, he's a bad guy, and your mom maybe had a better sense of who he was than you did.
Yeah, I just wanted to know what I should do. Should I go back out with him? Because
No. Forget it. Just let it go. This will be... You'll be yet another woman wishing she had waited longer to give up her virginity, but it will be a lesson that you will learn. Hopefully, you will stop going after these a-hole guys.
Yeah, and you know what? Don't go back out with him for him.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, he's 14. He's screwing around on some chick he's nailing.
He doesn't deserve you. Yeah.
Well, not only that, but teach the guy a lesson.
Yeah.
I mean, Drew, you always talk about that. We never really do it as it applies to the recipient of the discipline.
Yep. But I agree.
It's good for people to have consequences and see that actions have consequences.
Absolutely.
It teaches them right from wrong.
Maybe.
Maybe he'll turn the corner.
Maybe.
Hey, Drew.
Hey, Adam.
Hey, everybody. Hey, listen there, buddy. I got a car pick me up about 3 hours and 6 minutes.
So you're going now.
I think I'm going to head back to the hotel.
Should I call? Well, now, your hotel's on the same street as the one you're on, right? Right now?
Yeah, but it's kind of way down there.
So I can call you on your phone?
Yeah, call me on my cell, but I think I'm going to grab a cab.
All right, good times.
All right there, buddy.
Have a great trip. I'll see you in about a week.
You hang back and mop up for me, brother?
Yeah, bro.
Okay, brother.
All right.
All right, good times,
good
bro.
Good times. See ya.
We'll be back after this.
All right, that about does it. Another love line in the can. Adam is on his way to Europe. Next week, Stryker's in here with me. We've got Boxcar Racer, Shiri Appleby, right, and Weezer coming in during the week. It's going to be a star-studded week, and looking forward to it. We'll see you then next week. Have a nice Labor Day, everybody. And this is Dr. Drew on behalf of Adam Carolla saying mahalo.
Bottomless penis pit.
This has been Love Line. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins-Engel. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.